Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island. Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first, whether that be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. The reason I started this podcast is because since I've used my platform to speak so openly, I've had so many of you contact me on social media and even stop me in the street asking me to do a podcast. So now we really can get down and dirty and discuss the most important things that just aren't talked about enough. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop, as we discuss the most taboo and private topics, helping you focus on the fact that you come first. Today, I have a special guest with me, winner of Series 3 Glow Up, Sophie Baverstock. Sophie won Glow Up at just 21. During her time on the show, she won the affection of viewers with her humble but incredible talent. She opened up about being diagnosed with autism and has since gone on to work on such huge productions. Thank you so much for coming on. I've literally just got off the sunbed, so I'm like glowing, so don't pay any attention to me. I'm like, but thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for doing that, because I know how busy you are and stuff, so I really appreciate it.
No, it's okay. I appreciate being asked to come on, to be honest. It's definitely something that I've been interested in doing something like this for a while, so it's good.
Amazing. So to kick off the first question, like, you're so accomplished for someone so young. Like, obviously I watched Glow Up Series 3, which you won. Congratulations. But I couldn't believe how young you was. And not only did you win that, you graduated from Bournemouth University with honours. So you've smashed it. So can you tell us a bit about what life was like before Glow Up?
I literally went straight from sixth form in my hometown in Suffolk, and then I just went to college and did a foundation degree in art, and then from there I went straight to university. I didn't really have any years out, which I was gonna do, and then I didn't, so that was a bit of a full-on going straight into it. But yeah, I just started uni, and then obviously when COVID happened, we were limited a little bit in our third year. So as soon as third year started, it was in the end of second year I applied for the show, and then yeah, it all just went from there, really. So
I bet you're glad you didn't take a year out to like go traveling or party now, because you've absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna take a year out, and then I had like a normal job, and I just did that for like a month or two, and then I was like, no, I'm still like in the environment in my head of learning, and I wanted to do something, so I was like, I might as well just use this year as a sort of gathering up something else. So that's why I did the foundation. Yeah.
What was your normal job?
I worked in a little cafe that my friend's mum owns.
Oh, cute. I've had so many random jobs over the years, like, people don't believe I worked in a fish and chip shop, but that only lasted a day. I've worked in McDonald's.
Get free food.
I did. That was the highlight. I just wanted a battered Mars bar.
Worth it.
But had you always known that you wanted to do makeup and special effects in TV? And how did you get into the industry?
I always knew I wanted to do it. I didn't always think I was going to be able to do it. There's a difference. So I sort of had a plan in my head to go very much down the route of academic, and I was going to sort of, I applied for Edinburgh University to do English literature, and then I was like, I can't do this. I just can't do it. Like, it's not me. And my family's quite, my sister's very much in the industry, so I sort of wanted to go with her down the path. And I saw that she was just doing it, so I was like, well, if she can do it, I can do it, so we might as well just give it a go. But I definitely knew I wanted to do makeup. I just was always told it wasn't a possibility and it wasn't real, like, realistic. So I put it off, but it was, yeah, it was definitely something in the back of my head that I was like, if I get the opportunity, I would definitely do it, or I'd do it as a hobby. I was always like, oh, I'll just do it as a hobby for the rest of my life.
So. Yeah, because makeup does seem like such a competitive industry to get into, I feel. But was it like special effects that you wanted to do more, or just any kind of makeup did you just want to do?
I wasn't very good at makeup. Like, I wasn't, I thought, I, to be honest with you, I was in that sort of time period where eyebrows were just coming back and everyone was getting all hyped up about these different products that were sort of booming on YouTube. Like, I was in the YouTube era, so I was like copying all these YouTubers doing all sorts of different contour, and then obviously Kim Kardashian, all of that. So I was just copying everyone else's styles, doing just what everyone else was doing. And at school, none of us had good makeup, like Dream Matte Mousse sort of situation. Like, none of us were good at makeup. So I was like, this isn't going to go anywhere, is it? But then I was like, well, that's not really what I was interested in to begin with. I was always someone who watched horror films and like all the sort of sci-fi stuff. So I always tried to like make myself into different things. And I was always the one that made the effort for like fancy dress parties, or if we had different days at school where we had to dress up, I was like the only person above 14 that actually put an effort in. So I definitely knew that that was something that I was passionate about. I just always thought it was really funny to like do that. But yeah, I just sort of practiced in my bedroom when I was like 12, 13, just doing like random stuff and like watching loads of like behind the scenes stuff. But special effects was definitely something a bit more me, just because I didn't really like want to go into the realm of like wedding makeup and stuff like that, because it just wasn't very me. But there's artists like that that I look at and I'm like, that's incredible, but I just can't do it to save my life. So there's different realms of makeup, and like you can be good at one thing and bad at another, but it's good to sort of have a little bit of a taste of all of it. But I still can't manage to do like good eyebrows, I don't think, but I'm getting there.
You definitely can. There's no way you would have won Glow Up if you couldn't do eyebrows. But I just love how creative you are. Like, it's insane to me, like, how you can transform your whole face. Like, I was looking at your Instagram and I was, like, getting these questions together and I was just in awe. Like, I don't have a creative bone in my body. One day you have to do me, like, really cool makeup and transform me.
Definitely. I can make you look completely different. I think that's the bit that is what I love. It's like you can make someone who's, like, so, like, pretty and nice and whatever, and you can make them look absolutely dreadful. And I think that's the bit that I definitely find most interesting. It's sort of like completely changing up, switching up the vibe of what someone looks like.
It must be so amazing just to like have this image on paper and then create with someone's face, like, insane.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, that's the thing that I think, I don't ever design it. I always just have it in my head, which is kind of a blessing and a curse, because it's like if someone then sort of wants me to sort of talk about what it's going to be in advance, I'm like, I can't really give you an image right now, and I can't really draw. Like, I'm not typically good at drawing, so like I can't draw out my ideas either, so I find that difficult. So often I just jump straight into it and I'll just do it, because it's in my head, like the image is in my head, but putting it on paper is something that's, I've never been interested in doing that. But obviously people want to know what's coming before they see it, but that's just not very, I can't do that. But I can explain things well, I think, and like visualize it. I just wish people could like see inside my brain sometimes when I'm trying to explain different looks. And if I've got an idea, I'll try and explain it to like the people around me, like my friends and family, and they're like, yeah, okay. And then they'll see it and they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, you had to see it to get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. But I feel like people need to just trust the process. You're the artist, you're the professional, just go with it. And I think that's how you can like
it is definitely a process.
Yeah, people just need to be more trusting, I feel. Like, I'll let you do whatever you wanted. But I feel like that's how you can tell a good makeup artist, whether it's, like, traditional like, wedding makeup, like you said, or something more elaborate and, like, TV special effects stuff. You can't just, like, do the same look on everyone. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, a cat eye on me and on someone else would look completely different, depending on your face.
Exactly. You've got to wait until you see them in real life. And I think as well, if you were to be like, oh, I want you to do like a really creative look on me, I'd have to like visually see your face, understand your vibe, see what influences you like, this, that and the other, before I even had any idea what I was going to do. I wouldn't just jump in and be like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Because you have to make it so that when they are transformed into that character, they feel it and they can understand it. It's a bit like method acting, isn't it? It's a bit like that in a weird way. But yeah. You have to, in my opinion, the way I work is definitely if I was to do something on someone else, I'd have to make sure that I knew them in and out to sort of get that onto their skin, because you're changing their personality for a minute or two, aren't you? So that's what I think.
It must be incredible to watch a transformation in someone's like energy and how they act. I know like when I get glammed up, at first I'm like sitting there like minding my own business, and then literally it's like I'm someone off of RuPaul after the end. I'm like, oh my god, here she is.
Literally, that's how I feel though when I go from like this to a zombie. I'm like, that's how I feel. So I get it. It's just a different vibe altogether. But it's definitely weird, especially if it's like, I think the thing that makes a lot of people change their personas is wigs. I think as soon as you put a wig on someone, they're like, whoa, I'm a different person. So definitely when I wear wigs, that's when I completely change my vibe, because to me, my hair is so much of my personality that as soon as I cover it or as soon as it's gone, I'm like, oh, it's not me anymore. It's someone else, which is quite nice.
It's amazing what makeup can do for people's confidence and just like your energy. But congratulations on graduating uni with honours as well. Absolutely smashed that as well. Love it. Lots of people, so many people I feel, and me included, aren't sure whether uni like is for them or was for them. What was your experience at art uni like, and was it what you expected?
To be honest, like, I had no idea what to expect, because like a lot of people, I didn't think I was going to be all right at uni, mainly because uni comes with a lot of ideas that you're going for the lifestyle, you're going to meet new friends, you're going to go get drunk and have fun and this, that and the other. And I think a lot of people forget that you're actually paying 21 grand to get a degree. So like, I always sort of had the mindset of, I know that going out and doing all that isn't really for me anyway, so I need to be knowledgeable in the subject I'm doing, because I know I'm not going to uni for the lifestyle, which is fine if people do that. Like, it's definitely experience and you definitely come out a completely different person no matter what route you take. But I think my advice for people if they're not sure is like, decide what you're going to uni for. Like, are you going to uni because the career path that you have in mind is necessary for you to have a degree, or is it that you want to meet new people, in which case can you take different paths in doing that? So like, going to college to do a foundation degree was where I sort of first started to change as a person. And I know that had my career not have really needed the special training, I could have stopped there and I would have been all right. So I think it's all just, it's a case by case situation, but it was definitely worth doing. And I think it's one of those things as well where what you put in is what you get out. So I put in blood, sweat and tears and I managed to get first, so I was like, oh, I'm happy with that. Whereas if I'd have not done anything and not got a very good grade, I'd also sort of see it as, well, that's what I put in. So and I never did well at school and I never did like put the effort in at school, so I sort of saw it as, well, now I'm paying for it, so I have to. that's how I saw it, to be honest with you. Yeah, and it was great. It was really, really good. And it was like the best 3 years of your life, which a lot of people do say when they're like in their 50s and stuff, but it's true. And I felt that immediately. As soon as I stopped, I was like, yeah, this has definitely been a very nice, positive experience for me.
Yeah, I do get a little bit jealous when I hear everyone's uni stories. I'm like, oh, I wish I went.
There's
weird
stuff. Like, even me, I don't go out and stuff happened to me that I'm like, what the hell? Like, you couldn't write it. Do you know what I mean? If you don't go out, you have an experience, even if you're not a party girl. Like, I'm not really, but I did go out and I did have fun and I did do stuff. So it was you find your own way of doing it. And I sort of saw it as well as a weird sort of blessing kind of when COVID happened, because it meant that we couldn't go out and we couldn't do stuff, so everyone was now becoming a student like I was. So I was thinking, okay, now I don't look weird because no one's going out, so that's good.
But it makes complete sense. I wouldn't pay 21 grand just for a party, and do you know what I mean? I could go into London and do that for free. So if you're going to pay that money, you want to get as much out of it as you can. How did you apply for the show? Like, had you watched the other series, and like, what was the process like applying for that?
So, like I said, it was the end of second year, and we kind of knew that our resources were going to be limited in the year coming up, because obviously there was talk of like shutting things down and lockdown and stuff like that. And I had already spent the summer sort of with nothing to do, because I didn't have a part-time job at uni, because I put all my focus into my work. So I was like struggling to think of things to do almost, and my brain has to be stimulated 24/7, otherwise I just sort of hermit up and I don't do anything. So I'd already been doing my own little projects and doing stuff online a little bit more, had no like followers like this, but it was like I was trying to sort of do more things. And then our lecturer was like, oh well, I know someone who's emailed me from the company that obviously creates Glow Up, and they're looking for applicants, but one of your projects guys is obviously to talk about how you're gonna put yourself across in the real life world, so it'd be really good if you just like applied and screenshotted it and put it in your project, just to show that you're being proactive and doing something. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just apply, screenshot it, put it in my project, and then I'll get a good grade for trying to do something. And then I applied, and then like 2 days later I got a call, and they were like, oh yeah, well, let's go. And then it just all kicked off from there, and I was like, wait a minute. I wasn't planning on that, like, that wasn't the plan. But, it turned out okay, and it just, I'm not sure how much I could even talk about the process of it, but it was long, and it was detailed, and a lot of hard work. Whilst in the middle of uni, I sort of had to have a few meetings with my uni lecturers and be like, am I okay to do this? Like, do you want me to do this? Because you kind of gave me the contact, and you're the one that made me apply, and now we're stuck in this situation, so you're going to have to kind of help me do it. And they were like, yeah, go on then. So it worked out all right.
I love that for you, just proving that women can have it all. Like, I'm in awe of you, and you're so young. Amazing. It must have been so overwhelming, like, you literally just done it to say like, okay, I'm trying to put myself out there, and then not only to get accepted on it, they want you, and then you win the thing. Like, incredible.
Oh, it was weird. And I think the bit that was like the most surreal situation was that obviously there's different stages to the application process, and after every stage I said to my mum, I was like, oh, don't worry, it won't happen, like, you know, it's not going to happen, so don't worry, they won't call me back. But at least, you know, they've seen my stuff. Maybe, like, someone who works there might, you know, follow me and know someone, this, that and the other. And then as time went on and I just kept going forward and forward and forward, I was like, oh, my God, like, I might actually get onto the show. And then I remember, like, getting the call to say that, like, you're part of, like, the 10 people to go on it. And it was a couple of days, like, before Christmas. And it meant that I couldn't go home for Christmas because of the timings of it and how we had to travel and do all these different things. But I also had like a project coming up. So I literally stayed at home on my own in my uni house at Christmas because I had to pack to go. So I was like, well, this is my first Christmas on my own. This is nice. And then I just went straight away, and we just went, and it just happened. And I was with my friend when I got the call, and she had her phone on her and she just whipped out and filmed it all. So I've literally got a recording of me on like the phone talking to them, finding out, and I literally was just in complete shock. I was just like, okay, cool.
Oh my God, you have to upload that video. It would be amazing.
Maybe
to
I
watch.
Do freak out a little bit. I don't know if it's like I just look a bit like overwhelmed. And the thing is, like, when I get overwhelmed, I just go a bit crazy. Like, I just go a bit like mute. So I was just there, like, okay, cool. And they were like, are you not excited? I was like, no, I am. I'm just kind of like shitting myself, do you know what I mean? I was like, I just don't really know how to react, but it was good. So yeah. And I was only 21, so it was a bit like, whoop.
Such a baby. But what would you say, like, from watching it, it gives me a bit of anxiety, you know, like the times and the challenges. I'm just like, oh my God, is that editing, or is it like obviously you can't say too much, but is it like, was it really high pressured situation? Because for me, that's my worst nightmare. I'm such a faffer and a procrastinator. I'd be crying. I'd be sweating.
There was a lot of crying. There was so much crying. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, we all know that editing makes things look much different to what it is, but it was definitely, once it was go time, it was like actually real. Like they were like, okay, we're going to do a few like takes, this, that and the other. And then they were like, right, we're actually going to do it now. And we were like, oh, right, it actually does happen like this. And you do actually have that amount of time and they don't give you any more time. And, you know, it's not, it is pretty brutal, but I think, yeah, the editing makes it look a much more pressurized situation, because obviously if you don't have the music going on in the background, it makes you your heart like heart palpitations, but you almost feel it in your head. You're like, I know when this is going to be filmed and edited that this is going to be the scary part. When you're like 5 minutes away from finishing, you're like, right, they're going to be starting to like come over and film me now, because they do that. They obviously know when you're going to be stressed, and then they'll come right over and be like, are you stressed? And you're like, yes, I am stressed. Like, I know, you know, I'm stressed. So, but I just kept my, I was just like, I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to like be in one place at one time. And that place was like in the weird square bubble that I put around my station. And I was just like, you know, whatever is outside of that, I'm just not going to pay attention to for the next 3 hours. And then after that, I sort of zone back into reality and I'm like, okay, right, what happened? Like, what's been going on? So yeah,
you did seem so calm. I was like rooting for you the whole time, and I just like loved how like humble you was, and like you, I feel like you, I really saw you grow as a person, like in confidence and everything, but you never seemed to like lose your shit. But was there times
I was terrified? I was so scared when we first got there. I was like, I didn't speak for the first or like 3 days. I didn't really speak out loud. I just sort of observed and just listened to everyone else. And then Maya was like, you're gonna have to answer some you're gonna have to speak up a little bit. And I was like, okay, right, okay. So then they'd sort of like be like, Sophie, do you want to say anything? And I'd be like, no, not really. And then I just sort of be sat there like really quiet. But when we went up for our first when we went up to hear what they have to say for our first creative brief, I was shaking, like my legs. Craig said to me afterwards, he was right behind me, and he was like, I could see your leg shaking and I thought you were going to pass out. And I was like, I honestly don't remember physically, like, remember what they said to me. I just stood there and I was terrified, and I could, like, you could hear it in my voice. And I was like, you could hear, you know, when someone's really nervous and you can hear it. And it was just really embarrassing, because I was like, no one else seems that nervous, but I'm actually terrified. But as time went on, I would like stroll up to the front and be like, right, this is what it's about. Da, 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 da. And you could definitely tell when you watched it, especially when I watched it, because I knew what was going on, that it was like from the first one to the last one, I was like a completely different person. It was crazy.
I feel like everyone saw you go on that journey, and it was so amazing to watch. And I think everybody, whether you're the most confident person in a room, everyone's got that little bit of like shyness or just a new surrounding. It just makes you feel like on edge. So I think everyone could relate to that. But it was lovely watching your journey. It really was like such a difference. And I feel like in life, you don't grow unless you like push yourself out of your comfort zone. Like, not to the level of what you've done. Like, I have nowhere near as much talent. But, like, even with Love Island, like, I was like, oh, it won't happen, won't happen. Next thing, I'm walking into the villa shaking. And everyone's like, oh,
yeah, you're shaking. It's horrible.
I'm like, no, Mum, get me home to Southend. I don't want to be here no more.
I know, but exactly what was it like?
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What was it like when you won? Could you believe it? Did you like, I don't know, was it? It must have been so surreal.
it was, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's a feeling I've never felt before because it is such a unique feeling and experience that not many people could understand. But it's like, I remember standing there and the pause between finding out, you know, like on TV when they sort of give it a minute, like Simon Cowell vibes, and you think, oh, they're gonna do that. They didn't do that, so it was very much like da da da, and then they just said it, and I was like, oh my god, wait a minute. And then me and Craig just hugged, and I whispered into Craig's ear, I was like, oh my god, what do I do? And he was just like, just smile. And I was like, okay. And then I just had to sort of like not fake, because it was there in my mind, like I did feel like that, but my body language was like just terrified. I looked so scared. And then Val came over to me and was like touching my face, like, are you okay? And I just remember looking at her like, I can't, I'm just numb right now, like I just don't even know what to say to you. And then we had to take a minute and then refilm, but it was good. It was just like, I just didn't think it was like happening. I was like, as if a minute ago I was like in my living room on the phone to this person, like, okay, I'll see you in a week's time, and you know, bring enough clothes to like last a while. And I was like, right. And I brought like enough clothes to last like a week, and then I just didn't, I ended up staying for like 8 weeks, and I was like, oh god. But I just didn't, you know, when people are like, oh, I didn't think it was gonna happen, it's like I genuinely did not think that was gonna happen, because I just didn't have any sort of backlog of support. Like, I didn't have the social media following, I didn't know anyone in the industry, like, and to me it was like, even meeting Val and Dom was actually such a big deal that I was like, well, now I've won, I get to like speak to them on their own for the first time in the whole time we were in the series. Like, we actually got to speak to them in real life, and I was like, by the way, like, I really love your work. And that was like the moment I took to sort of be like, thank you for your work and thank you for inspiring me, because you never got really to speak to them that much. So that I just sort of took that moment to be like, I'm on my own now, I can say what I want, I can be nice to them and like tell them how much that work means to me. So I just did that, and then I went on my way. It was as simple as that.
That is so refreshing and lovely. I can imagine like so many people in that situation would be like thinking all about themselves, like, oh my god, I've won, what am I gonna do next, who am I gonna call? And you're like there thanking them for inspiring you, like, and I think, yeah, everyone can see that about you in your character. Like, genuinely, obviously we've never met, but I fell in love with you on that show. Like, you're such a sweet girl, and yeah, I'm so happy for you.
I remember Val was like, the first thing she said to me after I won, she was like, do you bleach your eyebrow? And I was like, yeah. She was like, yeah, keep doing that, it looks cool. I was like, okay, thanks. And I just sort of walked away like, is that it? Like, what the hell? I was like, what am I meant to say to that? But I said to her, I was like, I did one of my projects at uni based on her work with Gareth Pugh. And I was like, by the way, like, I really love, you know, I love the way you did these eyelashes on this show for Fashion Week. By the way, that's what I was inspired by for my last creative brief. I did like eyelashes like that, but she didn't like them. So she said in the creative brief feedback, I don't know if it was in the show, she was like, I'm not sure about the eyelashes. So after the show, when I won and I spoke to her, I said, by the way, they were influenced by you. And then Dom just shouted, shade. And I was just like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I was like, I didn't mean it like that. I meant, look, you should have liked it, surely, but she didn't.
I love the honesty. And another thing, I loved how you was like open with like your autism on the show. I think obviously in like reality and everything like that, I've never seen any women speak about having autism. And I just wanted you to like really talk to us about your journey with it, and if you felt different before you was like diagnosed with autism. And I don't know, when did you find out that you had it, and how did you deal with it? Like, it must have been hard.
Yeah, I mean, on the show, I remember saying to my mum when I actually got on, I was like, right, I kind of need to tell people now, because I hadn't told my like friends, I hadn't really told people around me unless it was necessary to sort of explain like behaviour or emotions or something. So I never really mentioned it to people. So when I was on the show and they gave us the brief of Unique, I was like, this is my chance to sort of like bite the bullet and actually accept myself and do it in a way which means something to more people than just myself. So if I do it on national TV, then it's like, it's just sort of jumping off the cliff full force, really, isn't it? It's like, I'm going to tell everyone at the same time, but also do it on TV. It was a bit daunting, and I nearly changed my idea a couple times just because I was so scared. But I remember having a conversation with the cameramen, who were just so nice. Like, they are some of the people that made the experience so much nicer and better than you'd think, and they were really, really supportive, and they were like, why are you upset? And I was like, because this is like the first time I'm talking about it. And they were so shocked. They were like, oh, as if, like, this is you telling people about it. And I was like, it's difficult because it's not a dirty little secret or anything like that. And it's just terrifying that that's the sort of vibe that I had in my head that it felt like, and it should never have been like that in the first place, because it was so daunting to even talk about it. And that's so damaging if I'd have felt like that and held on to that for much longer. So I was like, you know, I'm 21 at the time. I was like, I'm 21. I need to stop being like this, because I'm a hypocrite if I'm telling people to be themselves and behave as you are and be who you are, and then I'm not even doing that myself, then who am I? Like, I'm a fake, so I'm not gonna do it. So I did it, and I spoke about it, and I was like shaking when the camera came to me and asked me what my look was about. I was like, oh my god, here we go. Because it's like, I was saying it in February, but I knew it was only coming out later in the year, so it was like, you never knew how they were gonna edit it, and I didn't know how they were gonna make me look on camera, and if they were gonna use it as a way of sort of, in a way that other TV shows might do it, which in the past, like you've just mentioned, is obviously negative representation. So I was terrified that was gonna be the case. So I made it very clear to them quite sternly that I had no intention of being put across that way, because it's really just negative and damaging to people with it. So they were like, yeah, we got it, we know how to do it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I just spoke about it as much as I could, whilst also like not really putting it across as something that affected me negatively, because I wanted to put the message out there that was positive, like, because I knew that all we really get is negative interpretations of it, and in that it's a negative thing to have. So I was like, you know, there is negativity, there's a lot of it that comes with it, and a lot of bad things come with it, but let's not talk about that when I've got a moment to talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah, I didn't have much time to talk about it. It was a very rare opportunity to talk about it. So I was like, let's make it positive, make it sort of, we can develop from it rather than move backwards with it. So yeah, I think it was weird because I spoke a lot about my journey with it on the show, but obviously it's got to be cut down into like a 60 minute episode. It's not all about me, do you know what I mean? So they didn't really talk about it much, and I haven't really had the moment to talk about it on social media, because I want to focus on my makeup, and I want to like make sure that I'm focusing on my career as a makeup artist rather than talking about something that can bring quite negative connotations or trigger quite a lot of people. So I haven't really spoken about it, but it was like, I was diagnosed at 17, so I was in the middle of sixth form, and it was only because my drama teacher was like, she's getting A stars in her written work, but she's getting ungraded in her exams. So why is that? Because that's, you know, that's a pattern that even a professional should see, but also an untrained eye should see that that's it's just unusual to have such different contrasting grades. And he brought my mum in and we spoke about it all, and I just said, listen, like, I can do the exams, but I can't do the physical acting because I don't understand it. It makes me embarrassed. I don't like the lights on stage. I get headaches after every show. Like, I don't like looking at people in the eye when I have to act as if I'm like in love with them when I'm not. And he just sort of laughed and was like, you know, have you ever been tested for anything? I was like, I've been tested for dyslexia about a billion times in my life, because there was something there and everyone knew it, but no one knew what it was. And then, yeah, a few people recognised it, like I had an external maths tutor, because my teachers didn't really care about my work in school, so they just shoved me to the back or they wouldn't let me do anything. So I had to go and externally, my mum had to pay for an external tutor, and she noticed something was wrong with me. I say wrong because that's just what naturally comes out of my mouth, nothing was wrong with me, but like something was different about my learning style. And she said, you know, is it dyslexia? What is it? Like, how do you feel? And I just sort of told her a little bit about how I felt, and she was like, yeah, it sounds a bit sounds a bit different, that. And I was like, yeah. And then it was only when, like I said, my drama teacher sort of mentioned autism that my mum was like, oh, yeah, maybe we should do some, like, online tests and stuff. And obviously at that time it was, like, what, 2016? So the only interpretation I had of autism was the Undateables or the Big Bang Theory, obviously all men and all struggling with different aspects of autism that I didn't really struggle with. So I was like, nah, it can't be this. Like, it can't. It doesn't make sense. And that was obviously such a struggle to understand what was going on, because I was also in the middle of, like, navigating school and who I was and, like, my identity and things like that. And it was just, like, a big mush of a nightmare, to be honest with you. But
yeah, I can imagine. It must have been overwhelming. And, like, one woman, like, in the media or the public eye or anything has, like, come out and said that they've had this or, like, even spoken about it. And it's, like you said, for men, it's kind of, like, more acceptable. But as a woman, it's like, oh, no, you shouldn't have this. And I can imagine, like, same as people when they're coming out with their sexuality or saying that they've got mental health issues, you just feel, because it's not represented and no one speaks about it, you feel automatically shame around it when there is no shame. And if we all were more honest, like yourself, you'd find that so many people have it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it was a very othering experience of, like, being completely different to other people and, like, in that sort of pack mentality of high school, it was very difficult to out yourself as someone different, because then you're completely putting a target on you. And, you know, I did tell a few people, and a few people did use it against me and did say things and all sorts of stuff like that. But it's the same people that come around 5 years later and thank you for representing it on television. So I just think it's interesting that, you know, it was a complete taboo and definitely something I kept secret and hidden from people. Like, I'd even tell the teachers not to tell. I'd say to people that I was dyslexic. If they asked me why I was in a different exam hall or if I had more time in an exam, I'd just be like, it's because I'm dyslexic. Because people make the time and the effort to understand dyslexia because it's easy and it's not that different, is it? So people are like, oh yeah, you're dyslexic. Everyone's dyslexic. But so I used that as a sort of scapegoat for what it was. And the fact that I was, like, hiding something, it was just, it was really negative and really horrible. But, yeah, like I said, it was always, like, I always knew there was something going on. And I think everyone in my life sort of knew there was something going on.
Yeah. So. And it's like, how you said, labelled it as, like, dyslexia, as, like, a scapegoat. Like, it's only because everybody speaks about dyslexia. It's the same as what I'm trying to do, like, the sex industry. Like, sex workers have been shamed for years just because no one speaks about it. It's a taboo to speak about. I think if we was all just more honest and open with each other, so many people would be so much happier. And you must be inundated with girls and women messaging you on your DMs saying, like, I've been diagnosed, I've felt shame around it as well. So I just want to say, like, a massive thank you for doing that. And there was, like, a standout line for me, because I'm quite introverted and shy. And when you said, like, eye contact is physically painful on a bad day, I bet that resonated with so many women, whether they've got autism or not.
Definitely.
And I just think it was so powerful that you're still there. And we all have bad days when we struggle, but it's people like you that make other people feel more accepted, because we're all thinking it. It's just some of us are good at hiding it better than others, you know?
And I just hidden it for way too long. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, it's just, it's draining, and it's not fair to have to live like that when other people can live so openly. Like, it's my life and it's very short, and it's not going to be fair for me to sit at the end of it and be like, oh well, I changed my life to suit other people so that they had a good one but I didn't. It's like, you've got to be selfish, and, you know, it's not being selfish actually, because it's helping other people that may not have the capability to talk about it. You know, I've been very much blessed with the fact that I don't care what people think about me anymore, but, like, a lot of people unfortunately do, and that's where I was a few years ago. And it's not fair for me to be like, you know, you've got to tell people everything about you and you've got to be open and confident, this, that and the other, because it's like, that's not realistic. People are going through stuff, like, you know, and I'm just out of it. So it's like, I'm just trying to be realistic in that I can, so I might as well do it for other people that can't, because in the grand scheme of things, if someone's getting bullied for it and they explain my story and who I am and stuff, that might sort of be the education that someone needs to understand it. Whereas when I was younger, I couldn't just whip out Instagram and show anyone anything. I'd have to get a thesaurus out and sort of explain the whole, oh, but it's not like that. Oh, but it's not, you know, oh, but this, oh, but that. And it's like, I shouldn't have to put my emotional labour into that to help other people educate themselves. It's too exhausting and it's not something that I'm ever going to do. Like, even now when people don't understand it, I'm sort of like, you know,
it's not your job to educate these like dumb people. Like, that's on them if they want to like learn about it. But honestly, like, I can't tell you how much I respect you for doing that, because it was such a brave thing to do. And I also loved your nod to feminism with the colours of the suffragette flag. When I saw that, I was like, she's the winner for me. She has to win.
I have a feminist tattoo as well.
Oh, my God. I love you so much. We have to hang out after this. So would you consider yourself as, like, a feminist? And what would you say being a true feminist looks like for you?
I think I've been a feminist since I was, like, out the womb, to be honest with you, because my mum's a massive feminist. She brought me and my sister up as a single parent, most of it. So I say most of it since I was about five. So, you know, developmental years, she made such an effort to educate us in female issues and the history of everything that's happened, and to understand that, you know, if a man comes and says that you can't do something, then you've got to do it 10 times better than he's ever going to do it. And that's always the way that I've been brought up to know things. And it did mean I was a bit of a smart ass as a kid. And, you know, some people got really irritated with that. And a lot of the time, the people that bullied me at school were actually boys, because they found me intimidating to even have a conversation with. I wasn't going to ease up. So English lessons were very interesting, because we'd read all these literature pieces and they'd always be written by some guy who was a massive misogynist, and I'd be that girl that was like, hang on a minute, we shouldn't really be giving him the time of day. So I definitely just was outspoken, like, my whole life. I've always been like that. My mum is a huge inspiration in terms of feminism, and I've tried my best to just continuously educate myself in issues upcoming, you know, not just what's happened in the past and not just white women and the things that I actually deal with in everyday life, but other issues around the world and things like that. And I've definitely called myself a feminist forever, really. And before Glow Up, even, I joined like a feminist community that's run by my friend Hannah, and she's like an art curator, and she created this community on Instagram called the Creative Feminists. And I joined that because it was just so nice to see this woman who was like uplifting other women in the creative industry, which was something that we were definitely lacking. And as soon as I joined that, I was like, oh, so it's not just, I'm not just that weird outspoken girl at school that everyone found really annoying and wouldn't shut up. Actually, there's women out there all over the place that are like this as well. So I've been very passionate about, you know, that sort of thing for quite a while, and I always will be, to be honest.
Your mum sounds like an absolute legend. I want to meet her
She's great. She's just such a, like, I just, you know, when everyone, you know, everyone says their mum's the best, but she really is. Like, she's worked so incredibly hard, like, her whole life, and definitely put that mentality into my head that you have to work hard for what you do and that you can't give up and that persistence is key. And, you know, I'm sure, definitely sure, you'll understand that even now we are given situations in life where people are extremely sexist and misogynist, and had I not have been educated in that, I wouldn't be able to hold my own. And it's just a shame that schools don't educate us in doing that, and it is down to parents to sort of have to teach their kids how to defend themselves. And with everything that's going on now, especially things like that, you would have no knowledge of why these things are terrible and why we have to do something if it wasn't for the generation above us that were telling us that that's the case. So I'm definitely going to follow in my mum's footsteps and be a feminist mum, definitely.
Yeah, amazing. And we'll have to, it's the whole online community as well, which is amazing. Like, I follow a few feminist pages, but we'll have to link your friend's one under this episode, definitely, so everyone can go follow, because that really has helped me. Before, like, a lot of my girlfriends around my area, it's quite like narrow-minded and people don't really speak up, like you said. So I think it's great for girls to have that online. Everyone puts social media down, but it's actually been such a tool for me.
It's so good for anyone that's from a background where, like you said, it is narrow-minded. I'm from the middle of Suffolk. Like, you know, a Suffolk town is not the most diverse place to be. And it was definitely a bit of an eye-opener coming to uni and realising how close-minded my schooling was. So, like you said, you'll definitely understand that vibe of social media being like a different place to go. That's just like a place where everyone from different parts can join together, and everyone from different parts that have been closed off can come together and sort of open up a little bit, which is definitely something that social media has helped do in the recent years. So yeah,
definitely. And when you look back at your already impressive career, what advice would you give to young women and guys attempting to break into the world of makeup and special effects?
I think my advice sort of stands for any career path in general, to be honest, in that whatever you do should be what you want to do, should be something that you can see yourself doing in at least 5 years' time. But don't worry if it's not something you see yourself doing in 10, because things change and paths change and your passions can change. But that, you know, if you're going to do something, do it well. And that, you know, the quicker it's done, it's done. You just got to get on with it, to be honest with you. I think my advice that I get from my mum a lot of the time is, you know, once it's done, it's done, she always says to me. And I'm just thinking, yeah, like, that's how I get on with things. I sort of think, as soon as I get it done, it's done. And then I'm on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And having that passion and drive to move on is the only thing that really gets you from A to B. So if you're doing something that you don't enjoy, you then don't have that passion to move on from one to another. You sort of stay stuck in what you're doing, thinking, oh, there's no hope, there's nothing you can do. You know, if I hadn't have thought I was going to get on to Glow Up and I was like, oh, I'm just not going to apply because I'm not going to get on, you are indefinitely changing the universe's path anyway by being like, I'm not going to do it, you know. But if you try, you're opening up that door for a possibility to happen. But if you're closing off doors, then you're stuck in this room forever and it's just not going to go anywhere. So it's definitely
so true.
Doing things, just going for it. And, you know, I think advice for people a bit more like me is definitely to not be worried that in being quiet and maybe a bit antisocial or a bit, you know, closed off, not someone that really speaks up above others at parties and things like that, that there's other people that are like that in the industry. I don't think I've ever met as many people like me until I came into this industry. A lot of us are very similar. And a lot of makeup artists, obviously creative people in general, generally people that have been through a lot and have experienced a lot of different things. And you do find your sort of your people. And, you know, in the job that I'm in now, I've definitely found people that are way more like me. And I've been surprised. I've been like, oh, wow. So, you know, this is where everyone is then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you find people that are similar to you.
You find your people.
That's what happens. Yeah, you do. And school's not everything. And, you know, it doesn't last forever is something that I would say. Don't quit what you're doing and don't leave sixth form because you hate it. Because I was this close. I was very close to leaving and I didn't. So never quit.
Good for you. Yeah, you come across like such a strong person that will just get what you want, do you know what I mean? Even if it is a bit painful, like you said, in certain days or whatever. But you're so honestly so inspiring. Like, I could talk to you for hours and hours.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I just ramble on, to be honest with you. But
no, but it's facts. And I feel like we are very similar. And like you said, when you do something you're passionate about, you will meet people along the way that are your people in school.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm talking to you right now, so the universe has been like, oh yeah, you two will understand something. Let's pair this up. And then, you know, and then you'll meet someone next week and you'll be like, oh, I wish I met you earlier. Do you know what I mean? There's people that you meet and you're like, oh, I wish I'd knew you 10 years ago. But it's like, that's the reason you didn't meet them 10 years ago. So
true. And this podcast, obviously called You Come First, and it's like more about putting yourself first in your career. I think as women, we always feel like we need to put others first, whether it's like being a mum to someone or a daughter or a good friend. Have you ever struggled putting yourself first, like your wants and needs of your career and personal life? Like, is it hard to juggle your personal life and your career? Or have you just thought, I'm going to smash it in my career while I'm young and then I can focus on my personal life after?
Yeah, I think a bit of what I said earlier, in the sense of I never really cared if my friends kind of, it's been different. So like some friends just didn't invite me to things because they knew I didn't want to come, and that was never malicious. And it was like, you just, surely you just don't want to come, you know, whatever, which is you've got to find friends that have your understanding and get on with how you work as well. And I have made it clear to literally everyone that I become friends with that, like, I'm not flaky, I'm not like, I don't want to hang out, but whatever it is that is part of my career does come first. And that does come with a negative connotation, almost, that we're in this sort of era of self-care and like relaxation and things like that, and I understand that and I get it, but for some people like me, like, my brain doesn't work like that. I can't relax, like, I can't stop. So for me, I think only now in recent months, since the show and since getting a job in the industry and things like that, it's been difficult to balance speaking to friends and seeing family and stuff like that. But I know that in the long run, it's an investment in my career. And that's something that I've worked hard for to get to this point. And it's difficult when you're in an industry that doesn't give you many open doors. I can't turn things down because it's something that's going to benefit me in the future. So it definitely has affected relationships and people in my life and stuff like that. But that's also why I don't have many like people like that to sort of not make sure I don't disappoint them, almost. It can get a bit like that, do you know what I mean? How it's like you then sort of feel a bit bad for not being there for other people as much, but it's like I need to do that, otherwise this door is going to close on me and I can't have that happen right now. Yeah,
exactly. This is like the most important part of your career and you're absolutely smashing everything you do, so you can't slow down. If you was a man, you wouldn't be expected to. They'll be like, yeah, look, he's smashing it in his career, look at him go. No, of course he hasn't got time.
They'd be like,
for
oh, he's not here tonight at the pub because he's, you know, he's working late. Oh, what a legend. But it's like, if you're a woman, it's like, oh, you don't have any time to yourself. You should be sat down doing self-care. It's like, I honestly will like run myself out like a battery if it means that at the end of the week I feel like I've accomplished something, because to me, as a personal opinion, that's how I feel like I've succeeded in my week and my day. And that's okay for now. I'm only 22, like, eventually that will be a problem but not right now. Yeah. I've got a lot
right
of energy
now. You're living you're living your best life, smashing it, good for you. And just to finish, what would you say has been your most surreal moment? Because obviously on the show, there was a lady who came in to do special effects. Was it on Peaky Blinders?
Yeah.
That is my favourite show. And she wanted to work with you. So have you worked with her? I see on your Instagram you've done something. But was it that you worked on?
Yeah, so it wasn't Peaky's is done now, actually. I think they finished it. But yeah, that was a really surreal moment because I was waiting for a special effects. I was like, I really need to stay in the competition as long as it takes to get to the special effects weeks. And we sort of, all of us had watched the previous seasons in the house just to sort of grasp when they were going to throw it in there, because it obviously had to be the same sort of thing. So we were like, okay, week six last time, but it was week five the time before. So we got to get to, I was like, I've just got to get to week five, like week six. And then we got there and then I saw her and I was like, oh, I know what's going on. And I was like, I knew where we were, I knew what was going on. And I was like, okay, this is my episode. I think I've got to like actually smash it. And she was just great. And I instantly like connected with her. She's just such a real person, like a real woman in the industry doing it, like smashing it and creating a whole different, you know, I remember speaking to her the other day and someone said to her, you know, Loz, like, this is such a nightmare. All these boys have really short hair now because they've copied all the Peaky Blinders styles. Like, you've literally created a whole new hairstyle back in the genre, you know, bringing it back from the past. And she was like, yeah. And then she's just such a cool woman.
I love that. What an icon.
Yeah, she actually is. And she's just great. And I, you know, when she said on the show, you know, I'd have you in my team any day, you sort of hear it and you're like, oh, what a nice thing to say on TV. Oh, well, you know, it's never going to happen. Like, I was like, I knew that she wasn't being serious, but yeah, after the show, I got a couple of trainee days on a different thing with her and just sort of testing the waters. And I met her again and I was like, in real life, and it meant that I could speak to her without having to worry that I was being recorded on a microphone 24/7 or like that someone was listening to me. So I managed to just speak to her openly about makeup and this, that and the other. And then yeah, now I'm working with her on her main team, so it's great.
Oh my god, on her main team, congratulations, you're literally smashing everything.
It's a very long process. Like, I think, you know, you've got to start from the absolute bottom, which is perfect for me because I just like watching people. Like, I'm such an observer and I just stand there and I'm like making teas and coffees, but then I'm like watching such a professional woman in her craft, where I want to be in a few years' time, and knowing that I'm in that room with her is just such a blessing. Like, I'm just like, wow, like, I've learned so much already. Like, you learn so much more in the industry than you do outside of it at university and stuff. Like, I'm just getting another free bit of education, which is what I love. So I'm just loving it.
Insane. Manifest it. That will be you.
Oh, I do. Honestly, I've got my crystals out. Like, they're always there. Like, I'm manifesting every single moment.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, because I know how busy you are, and it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And yeah, if you've ever got like a free afternoon, bring your mum and let's have a feminist girly day out and have a few cocktails.
She'd honestly love that. You wouldn't get her to shut up though, honestly. But we'd all just be sat there shouting at each other, like, do you know what I mean? It's just awful.
Putting the world to rights. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.